morning.
Good morning.
Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
I'm going to follow along on that first resurrection morning. If you want to follow along with me, it's going to be on Luke 24. I'm going to read Luke 24, a few verses out of Luke 24. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be crucified, and on the third day he'd be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and went away wondering to himself what had happened. Father, we give you praise for Jesus. And it's because of Jesus, Lord, we get the chance even to celebrate Christmas. And because of Christmas and you were born a life to live a sinless life, you went to the cross, a sinless person. On that Friday, it was very good because you died for us. And because of your death on the cross, we don't have to die an eternal death. And Lord, as we trust in you, we can face our death knowing that you rose from the grave that first Easter morning, knowing that you trusted the Father to have eternal life with an eternal body. And so, Jesus, we love you. And help us not to think of the words that we hear today as nonsense, but to wonder at them and put them in practice. We praise you, Lord. In your name we pray all these things. Amen.
Hey, good morning. It's good to sing with you this morning, so let's stand and begin.
Lord, I lift your name on high about how fun it is to sing his praises.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Singing or seated if you don't quit singing. From Revelation 1:18, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We serve a risen Savior, even though some of the world doesn't recognize that.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. see, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
I was reading a deal about Easter, I don't know, last night or this morning sometime. And it was basically, you know, what if we didn't have Saturday? You know, what if God rose Jesus from the dead, you know, in 15, 20 minutes? Would it be as meaningful? Would there have been a time to doubt as much? And so it was really, really unique and really good, because I think we've all had Saturdays. We've had a crazy, crazy Friday where things didn't go right at all, and then it seems like God is silent, and it might last longer than a day. But if we're patient and we're faithful, he will work things out, and we can have our Sunday, because our God reigns. So let's stand again, if we can, please, and sing about our God that reigns on high. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
He is
let's go ahead and be seated for our communion time this morning. We're going to sing about his amazing grace, because that God that reigns is the King of grace. Just ask him and he will give it to you freely.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught
men come forward for communion this morning.
I know there's a cartoon now, I think it's on Disney, that's called What If, and if we did this, this would happen, or what would happen. But there's two thoughts I've had today, and the first one was, what if Adam hadn't sinned with Eve? That's a good question, and I think it eventually would have happened no matter what, even if it didn't happen in the Garden of Eden. And the second what if I have is, what if Jesus hadn't done what he did? Earlier in the chapter of Luke, Jesus is out in the wilderness, and Satan comes to him and tempts him three different times, and he doesn't give in to temptation. Jesus is battered, beaten, bruised, and being walked to his death. He can still do something about it, but he chooses not to. And then when you get this part here in Luke 23:44, it says, it was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Up until that point, he could have just said, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to help these people. These people have beaten and battered me. He blasphemed me. But he had one last chance right here
to undo everything that had just been done to him, in the sense that, you know what, these people don't deserve this. I don't want these people around. He's like, I don't want to save these people. He could have right there, but the reason he did it is because he loved us. And I'm glad Deb brought up, well, what if he died here and then 20 minutes later he's walking around? I don't know if it would have been significant, because anybody could have said it was a fluke. But he was laid to rest, rose 3 days later, was living, breathing, and embodiment of life. And he did all that for you and me. So I think I could sit here and think, well, what if this happened? What if this happened? But this is something that I think is, God knew that Adam and Eve would sin. And he knew what he would have to do in order to save us, because he loves us. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, Lord. I'm glad that you made the hard choice for us all by giving up your one and only Son, Lord. I couldn't imagine it, but I thank you every day that you have. Thank you for saving us from ourselves, Lord. In your Son's name, amen.
Thank you. name.
As we wrapping up our offering time here, I want to draw your attention to the scripture on the screen. This is the theme that the Sheridan Christian Church has adopted for 2022. Let's read this together, would you? Read it with me. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so as I think about what that verse can mean to us, I think a Resurrection Sunday, what we call Easter Sunday, can remind us of how that verse is more poignant to us more than ever on today's date, because for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I know I have a gain if I die, because as a Christian, as I believe on Christ and forgiveness of my sin, if I die, what happens to me? What happens to me? I get to go be with who? My Lord who saved me. That's a fascinating prospect for all of us who have a belief in Jesus Christ for your Lord and Savior. And so that means that once I gain that perspective, that when I die, I then gain Jesus, that means that tells me how I should what? Live. How I should live, okay? And so this is the part of the service where you've sang some worship songs, you've had a chance to commune, you've had a chance to worship God with the offering. And now when you really want to knuckle down and just put that into practice, which means I'm going to sit quietly with Jesus, I'm going to express to him how so very grateful I am that he did what? That he saved you through his death, that he trusted our Father, went to the grave, and rose again. And this is what we put in practice. We sit with Jesus and we contemplate that. And that helps us on Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday mornings. So let's do that. Father, we give you praise for Jesus and how you both worked together to decide that Jesus would come to the earth in the flesh, live a sinless life, die on the cross for us, taking the penalty of death for us, and he trusted you to go to the grave. And through you, Spirit, you helped raise Jesus from the grave, which allows us to celebrate not only one day a year, but every day of the year, the grace of the resurrection. We give you praise, Lord. You're so kind to us. And Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, quick minute. Why don't you stand up for a second? Stand up for a second. Just stand up. There you go. Stand up. I want to share with you that I want to share with you that if you came with a large male today and they're having a hard time sitting still in church, there's a room in the back for them, okay? So if you're over 30, you can go back there, I promise you. I also wanted to see if you'd stand up if I asked you. You can sit down now. So if you go to your Bibles, you're on Romans 6 today, Romans 6. And Paige, try that again. Completely close out Easy Worship, if you don't mind. Romans 6, starting in verse 1, we're going to kind of do a brief recap of what we had last week. Derek, or someone who knows PowerPoint, run to the back there and see if you can help Paige. Thank you. I'd appreciate that. We had talked about three things last week that came out of that Romans 6 passage. And so if you go to your Bibles in Romans 6, starting in verse I think it's 3. Look what the Bible says here. Don't you know that all of us who are baptized where? Into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. So if you have your sermon outline today, I have a sermon outline in front of you, you'll find there's fascinating reasons that Jesus wants to be one with you. It's just absolutely fascinating as I contemplate that reality for all of us. And so the 3 fascinating things that came out last week, we're going to divide up Romans 6 in 3 parts, 3 fascinating things that came last week for us, and here they are, is Jesus wants you to no longer live in sin. Jesus wants you to no longer live in sin. Number 2 is Jesus wants you to experience his death. Number 3, Jesus wants you to live a new life. Those 3 things came out of last week's message. And so as they're kind of fiddling in the back, trying to get our images ready for the screen today, I want to share with you a thought process as we move into our first point for today. It's going to be in Romans 6:5. Here's the first point being today is this. Jesus wants you to experience how many resurrections? 2 resurrections. You're thinking, what are you talking about? Go with me to Romans 6, verse 5. Romans 6, verse 5. Here it is. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we'll also certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now, have you noticed that just some things are obvious when you go through life? Some things are obvious, and I can see some of that expressions on your face already today, that some things are obvious. Here's some things that are obvious. I found this list. Here they are. To make a long story short, don't tell it. If your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, you should consider running for a job in Washington, D.C. Some minds are like concrete, thoroughly mixed up and permanently set. Peace starts with a smile. I don't know why some people change churches. What difference does it make which one you stay home from? A lot of church members who are singing Standing on the Promises are just sitting on the premises. We're called to be a witness, not lawyers or judges. And finally, outside of traffic, there is nothing that holds this country back as much as committees. Another obvious thing for this, and I think some of you who have gray hair and some of you spend good money not to have gray hair, have you noticed that your body's failing? Have you noticed that? I had a good body day Friday and I had a good body day Saturday, and I'm telling you what, Saturday night I was suffering, absolutely suffering. You know, there's a group of guys that meet together every Tuesday morning. If you want to join us, we start at 6:30. Great group of guys. I can tell you what, I can come to this group of men and I can share with them a new thought that's going on with my mind or my body. Like I can't remember things anymore. My body doesn't work like it used to. And this group of men is consistently in telling me, don't worry about it, Jeff. It just gets worse from here. Just gets worse from here. And so as I think about that, to be frank, I'd like to have a new body that isn't quite as painful as the one I have. And I'd like to have more energy like I did with Davin yesterday, and I'd like to have more hair, but that's not a reality this side of heaven's gates. But there's a promise coming. I want to share with you that promise. You see, for the Christian, they have to go through 2 resurrections in their life. Now remember, a resurrection can only happen if what? Something dies. That's the only time a resurrection can happen, if something dies. Now the first resurrection happens when what? When you're immersed into Christ. Now some of you say, what's he mean by immersed? There's lots of things in our world right now in which we use baptism. There's all sorts of thoughts of baptism, but the biblical baptism that the Lord talks about and the apostles talk about is always immersion underwater. That's a biblical frame for immersion, for baptism. So when I say immersion, that's what we're talking about. But look in Romans 6:4. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live what kind of life? A new life. In other words, there can only be a new life, and what happens to the old life? The old life dies. That means that when something dies, there's going to be what? A resurrection. Now you're thinking, what are we talking about here? Look, Revelation 20, verse 6, it's on our screen here. Let's read this together. Revelation 20, verse 6. Here we go. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. Quick lesson here, okay? When did the Christian experience the first resurrection? When they're immersed underwater into Christ, okay? When does the second death occur? It occurs at Judgment Day, and the second death occurs on Judgment Day, and when God pronounces you not able to be in heaven because you've chosen not to have Christ on earth, and the second death happens when you go to hell. That's the second death. So when you participate in the first resurrection, you get to avoid the second death. Okay? That means that your old spiritual, sinfully dead life died, and you rose to a spiritually forgiven life in who? In Jesus. That's what happens, okay? And so as you think about that, there's another resurrection coming. Well, when's the second resurrection coming? It's not on the screen. It's not on your bulletin. You have to write it down. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. You can write it down and look it up later. Wonderful passages. But what's going to happen is Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's bringing everybody who's died beforehand. He's coming back. He's bringing their souls with him. And you're still on earth, perhaps. Maybe you've gone. But the point is, he's bringing back people with him. And what happens at that point is, when Jesus comes back, the sky split open, a trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That means all the people who have died in Christ, their bodies in the grave, they're in heaven with Jesus. He comes back, the bodies come out of the ground. You meet with your soul and the body in the air, and you go where? You're going to be in heaven with Jesus with what kind of body? New body, no more ibuprofen. It's all good. It's all good at that point. You get a new body when Jesus returns. And so I always often thought, I used to mow Isidore Cemetery and one out here. I thought, man, if Jesus comes back while I'm mowing this yard, it's going to be freaky. Wow. Wow. And so what does this mean that Jesus wants us to experience two resurrections? What does it mean? It means this. It's grace. Did God have to let you experience a resurrection? No. But he wants you to experience a resurrection through Jesus Christ. That's called grace. And so God didn't have to let us experience any resurrection, but by his grace and mercy, he allowed us to experience a resurrected life when? Now. And when is the next resurrected life? When Jesus returns. So we're talking about how come Jesus wants to be one with you. It's fascinating how come Jesus wants to be one with you. And here's the reason why. Look here, okay? Jesus wants you to experience two resurrections in oneness with him. And I'm talking about oneness with him when you're immersed into Jesus, okay? So here's what we do. You daily acknowledge the grace of your first resurrection, allowing you to live a new forgiven life in Jesus. You get to live a resurrected life when? Now. That's the new life, okay? That's grace. And then two is daily prepare for your second resurrection. It's coming. Jesus is coming soon. Prepare for that. And prepare for your second resurrection by living that life through Jesus now. The second thing is this. Jesus wants to free you from slavery to sin. Jesus wants to free you from slavery to sin. Look in Romans 6, 6 through 7. Look what the Bible says there. It says this. For we know that our old self was what? Crucified. When was it crucified? At our immersion into Christ with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been free from sin. Now, I want to continue on with you in that list of obvious things, okay? I'm going to give you that list of obvious things. Here's some obvious things. Our opportunity may knock once, but temptation bangs on your front door forever. Quit griping about your church. If it was perfect, you couldn't belong. The one preaching phrase that is guaranteed to wake up every congregation, and in conclusion, if the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. Not only are the sins of the fathers visited upon the children, but nowadays the sins of the children are visited upon the fathers. God himself does not propose to judge a man until he is dead. So why should you? There's another obvious thing that needs addressing, is that all slavery needs to be abolished. All slavery needs to be abolished. Now, one can make the argument that slavery has been abolished, but it's just a matter for us to recognize that fact. Now, look in verse 6, what Paul says here. For we know. Wasn't that in one of the lyrics we sang today? For we know. Now, Paul doesn't say, well, for we feel. Didn't say that. He also doesn't say, oh, you might be thinking this. He doesn't also say, oh, for we believe. No, Paul says what? For we know. For we know. And as I hear Paul say these words, even more certain than the sun coming up tomorrow is the fact that when you were immersed into Christ, your old self what? Died. Your old self died. That means the old way of life, ruled by sin, was done away with at your immersion. Now listen to this. This is very important. I wonder how many in here will admit they have bad behaviors. Okay, about five of us. Great. Okay, good. The rest of you really need to listen closely. Lying's a bad behavior. We all have sinful behaviors. We all have addictions. We all have addictions. We all have habitual thoughts that need to stop, and we all have fallen in for things that our flesh wants. We do that. Now, here's something I want to remind you of. When you are immersed into Christ, you receive the new master. You receive the new master when you're immersed in Christ. That means when you're immersed in Christ and you're sacrificed, or crucified, if you will, you do not have to submit to the old behaviors that caused you so much trouble in your old life. Well, when was my old life? Well, when was your old life? About 30 seconds prior to your immersion. That was your old life. Those sinful behaviors that you have, you don't have to answer them anymore. That caused you so much trouble in your old life. You do not have to submit to any addictions that you cause you so much trouble in your old life. You do not have to submit to habitual poor thinking that caused you so much trouble in your old life. You do not have to submit to whatever else comes along that caused you so much trouble in your old life. Look, if you're still a Christian, if you're a Christian today and you still have sinful behaviors, and if you still have habitual thoughts and whatever else is plaguing you, I'm going to ask you a question. What did you believe when you were immersed? What did you believe? Let's just start from the beginning. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay. Do you believe that Jesus lived a sinless life? Okay, good. We're doing great. Do you believe that the perfect body and blood of Jesus satisfies God's requirement for your sin to be forgiven? Yes, okay. So, do you believe that you became one with Jesus and his death on the cross? Yes. Well, if you believe these things, then you no longer are in slavery to past behaviors, to past addictions, to past or present habitual thinking, or whatever else comes along. You no longer are in submission to those things. And I hear some of us going, yeah, but. No, there's no yeah, but. It stopped the moment you became a believer in Christ and were immersed into him. That's when it stopped. You don't have to answer those things anymore. The old you has died. The new you is free from sin because of your oneness with who? With Jesus. So here's a thought. Do you believe this? So if you believe it, remember, Jesus wants to be one with you. There's some fascinating reasons Jesus wants to be one with you. And here's the one we're talking about today. He wants you free from slavery to sin. So let's look at that. Look at this. Repent from giving into past behaviors, addictions, and habitual thoughts. You have got to stop it. You have got to stop giving into things that you used to give into. But you don't know what I think. I don't care what you think. The problem is it's giving you trouble. And you've got to repent from it. And you know what you're thinking that's causing problems. And you've got to tell yourself, I'm free from that, I'm repenting from that, and I'm not going to think that anymore. And then you do this. Jesus, I just give you praise that you've freed me from that thinking I think all so many times. I just give you praise. The next thing is this. Praise God for your new life. Praise God for your new life under your new master named Jesus, who is one with you and loves you. Folks, it's amazing when you contemplate the reality of this, that you've been free from poor behaviors, you've been free from addictions, you've been free from poor thoughts, you've been free from everything else, you have a new master, and he loves you. I wonder how many times have you thought in your day, I'm so grateful my smartphone loves me. You see, what are you talking about? Guess what we're bowed down to most today? Does your smartphone love you? Does another person in your life who uses you and causes you problems, they love you? I don't know, but I know who does love you. And his name is Jesus. And he's given you the freedom to break away from all sorts of things. And the phone is not just one of them. The third thing we see today is this. Jesus wants you to be alive to God. Jesus wants you to be alive to God. Look in Romans 6, starting in verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to who? He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. All right, one more last time. Here we go. Some things are just obvious. Some things are just obvious. Some people are kind, polite, and sweet-spirited until you try to sit in their church pew on Sunday morning. Norman. Many folks want to serve God, but only as advisors. It's easier to preach 10 sermons than it is to live one. That is true. The good Lord didn't create anything without a purpose, but mosquitoes came close. This is really good. When you get to your wit's end, you'll find God lives there. People are funny. People are funniest people I know. People are funny. They want the front of the line, the middle of the road, and the back of the church. And here's another thing just as obvious. You are dead to God before Jesus. You are dead to God before Jesus. Let me unpack that for just a moment. You are dead to God before Jesus. Now, what do these phrases mean, alive to God and dead to God? Well, I want you to listen to your life prior to knowing Jesus. It's on the screen, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, okay? One more click page. There we go. Let's read this together. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now, as you look at that text, there's some things I want to share with you. Keep looking at the text. I want to show you something. Go back page of the text screen, please. Before Jesus, I was dead in my sins. That's what it says. I was dead in my sins. Before Jesus, I used to follow what ways? The ways of the world, okay? Before Jesus, I was ruled by who? Well, the evil one, okay? Doesn't say evil one there, but the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit of now working those who just, that's the evil one, that's the devil. That's before Jesus. Before Jesus, the spirit of the evil one worked in me for disobedience. We were all disobedient before Jesus Christ, and this is how come we were, because of the enemy working in us. Before Jesus, I lived like the world, gratifying my flesh and its desires. Whatever my flesh wanted, that's what I did. Whatever I desired, that's what I did. Now, this is really important. Before Jesus, I deserved whose wrath? I deserved God's anger. I deserved God's wrath. Now, as I contemplate these things with you, here, listen to this. Prior to Jesus, your life was dead to God. Here's what that means. I'm unpacking that. Meaning, you live for yourself. You were dead towards God. You were dead towards God. That's what that means. Any thoughts or actions towards God or to God was dead because your thoughts and actions were really about who? Yourself. Anytime you're living for yourself, it's death. I'm going to say this another way. How come our thoughts and actions are about us? It's sin. When you're in sin, guess who your thoughts and actions are about? Yourself. Sin will always make life about you. Always will. Jesus changed that. Remember, Jesus changed that for your life when you were what? Immersed underwater into Christ. Into Christ. That's key read there. Key word. Your old self died. Your sin was forgiven, which means no longer has the power to take root in you. I'm almost suspecting, as you guys consider planting corn real quick, that you're not going to plant corn on any gravel roads. How come? It won't grow. Won't take root there, right? It's the same way with you. Your heart has been set up by Jesus in such a way that sin can no longer take root in you. Can you let it? Oh, sure, you can let it. But sin no longer has power to take root in you. Now, I want you to think about something. What does a life look like in which they have died themselves and have been forgiven of sin? Look in verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also what? Live with Him. We no longer live with our sin, we live with Jesus. And I see this so many times in so many Christians. They're living with their sin more than they are Jesus. They attend church, they know Jesus, they know their Bible, know all those things. But here's what they're doing. They're more contemplative in how they're living with their past sin versus living presently with Jesus. Well, what has Jesus done to your sin? It's gone. So then how come you're still contemplating the reality of what your sin did versus the reality of what Jesus has done? You have been forgiven. Jesus, think about this, when we are one with Jesus and forgiven of sin, my life is no longer about what I have done sinfully, but what Jesus has done with my sinfulness. Do you hear that? I mean, my sin no longer matters because Jesus is taking care of it. Look in verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has what? Mastery over him. Sin, and the consequence of sin is what? It's death. Sin, the consequence of sin is death. Sin and death no longer have mastery over me. That means, look at this, church. Look. Sin causes death, right? We can agree with that. That means, as a Christian, since I trust Jesus in my life, trust him with my forgiveness, do I need to fear my physical death anymore? Heavens to Betsy, no. I am ready to go. Lord, take me home. And there are some days you want to go home sooner than others, right? Okay. Does that mean I need to be afraid of my spiritual death? That I'll go to hell when I die? No, because I've been forgiven of sin. I no longer have to fear death because of who? Jesus. Look at 10 and 11. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in who? In Christ Jesus. Look, there's no time in your Christian faith that it says this. You have been united with Jesus in the likeness of his death. You have been united with Jesus in the likeness of his life and death. And that happens at your what? In your immersion. That means because you've been united with Jesus and united in his life and united in his death, that means you're like who? That means you're like Jesus. That's who you're like. So just like Jesus, I must live to who? What's the verse say? Verse 10, Jesus lives to who? God. So that means I don't keep on sinning and walking in sin. This is what it means. It means I'm now like Jesus, in Jesus, with Jesus. He's living in me and with me and through me. And now I live to who? God, not myself. I'm repenting from living to myself. I'm repenting of that. I no longer want to live that way. Okay? I no longer want to live my days wasting my days for who? Me. That's a waste. What it means is since I've been forgiven by Jesus, I want to earnestly desire to live my days very much alive to how I can honor God through Jesus. That's how I want to live my days. I want to honor God through Jesus. So how do I do that? How do I live to God through Jesus Christ? Well, let's recap, okay? Number one is this. You're now one of Jesus. You've got to think that. You've got to think that. How often do you think it'd be wise to think that? Well, I don't know. But for me, it'd be probably about every hour just to think that I'm one with Jesus. The second thing is this: oneness with Jesus means that you're fully, listen to this, fully capable of living to God because of your oneness with Jesus. How well were you with God before Jesus? We all have to admit what? I wasn't very good. I was disobedient, arrogant, prideful. We could just keep running the gamut. Your capability to live to God is based on the ability of Jesus. If and when you've come to Christ, you do really good if you can just think this: I can never live to God like I'm supposed to. Bingo, you've just nailed it. You just nailed it. How much of your ability are you able to live to God? You can't. The only person that can do that is Jesus Christ. And where does he do that? He does it through us. So think about this. When you're one with God, one with Jesus, and his ability is to, you have that full capability to live to God. So remember, we're talking about how you and I can become a person, next screen there, Paige, how you and I can become that person that wants to be alive to God through Jesus. And all this are those fascinating things, all those fascinating things that Jesus wants to be one with you. Number one, look at this. Repent from fear. Look, folks, if you're living in fear, you're not living in love. If you're living in fear, you're not living in love. Live in love by repenting from fear. So repent. Stop fearing your physical death. Stop fearing spiritual death because of your oneness with Jesus. If you know that you have believed with Jesus Christ, been immersed into Jesus Christ, and you want to live a life with him, stop fearing what Jesus has done. He's defeated death, period. Stop fearing that. Second thing is this: embrace your oneness with Jesus as living with Jesus. You're one with Jesus. That means you're living with Jesus. Every day, who you're living with. Who are you living with? You're living. Act that way. Act that way. Live with, embrace that reality that you're living with Jesus. A third thing is this. Acknowledge the ability of Jesus in you to have the capability to live to God. You have no ability within yourself to live to God. Nothing. You're going to fail if you try to do it on your own. You cannot self, this is one of those things you can't self-will to do it. You need help. That's a great thing, isn't it? How many of us need help? We need help, okay? Well, we can't live to God on our own. We need help, and the only way that's going to happen is Jesus living through us. And so those are some three more fascinating reasons that Jesus wants to be one with you. You know, something happens for our family every Easter, and some of the exciting things I want to share with you happens to us. One of the things is that ever since we've painted that little thing back there in the back in the cool kids area, there's a little Easter lily back there of Jesus as a lion. And if you want to take your family back there and take a picture in front of that Easter lily lion, that's a tradition our family started. And so if you want to take your family there after church, you can do that. Another thing that we've done over the years is we've always given each other new clothes for Easter. Anybody else done that too? New clothes for Easter? Okay. And we've done that over the years. Has anybody noticed something awkward about me today? Now, some of you noticed right off the bat. Vern came up on fact. Amy was going to stop me from preaching on because he probably felt what, Vern? A dork? Vern's a good friend. He's trying to save me from any awkwardness, right? Remember Minnie Pearl? Yep. Minnie Pearl always wore a hat that had a tag on it. Now, there's some moms in here. Moms, what are the first things you tell your kids you bring clothes home from wherever you buy them? And the tags on them. Don't take the tags off because I might have to take them back. Okay, I might have to take them back. So I have a thought to run by you. I wonder if we treat Jesus like this shirt. I'm going to try Jesus for just a little bit. And I'm going to try him for just a little bit. If he doesn't like him, what I'm going to do? I'm going to take him back. I really don't want him in my life. Because when I was growing up on a farm, Mom gave us Easter clothes. She'd say two things. Don't take the tag off and don't go outside. I mean, with three boys on the farm, we were dirt magnets. And there's something else I want you to consider. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've never fully bought into the Jesus thing. Maybe you've never fully bought into Scripture and what Scripture's all about. Do you know how awkward it is to watch a man up front in front of you preaching that has a tag under his armpit? You know how awkward that is? Do you know how awkward it is to watch you do the Christian life with the tag still on? In fact, sometimes I'm embarrassed for people who claim to be Christian, but they're still wearing a tag on the shirt. It's awkward. And when we watch, it's awkward. Here's an easy thing I want to run by you. Vern said it great. He's a great friend. Vern's a great friend. He wanted to spare me the embarrassment of doing that. I mean, if you're a person today that's generally not, you're not connected to Jesus, you're just wearing the name tag of Jesus, what would be the best thing that we could do to not embarrass and be awkward? How about go all in? How about stop wearing the tag? Stop wearing the tag. Go all in. I mean, don't act like you want to take the shirt back. Go all in. I want that for you. And if I'm ever wearing the tag someday, what do I want you to do for me? Hey, Jeff, you look like a dork. It's time to take the tag off. Own the shirt. Take the tag off. Hey, let's stand together, and I want to sing with you a fantastic song about glorious days we're going to sing. And so let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We give you praise for how kind you are to us. And Lord, there may be some people here today that have realized that they've been wearing a tag for so long they don't know what that looks like to have a tagless shirt. I get that. In fact, it seems embarrassing. But in reality, it isn't. Because we get to repent of our tag. We get to come to you. So Jesus, we're so grateful you allowed us the opportunity to repent. And so if there's someone here today that wants to talk after church, man or woman, we can connect you with a woman if you're a gal or a guy. We can talk to another guy, whatever. But maybe there's some here today, Lord, haven't been immersed into Christ. Why not today? Why not today? So Jesus, we just want to give you praise, not only on Easter Sunday, but every day. For dying for us, trusting our Father to go to the grave, and being resurrected. Lord, in your name we pray these things. Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn. I'm ready. You call.
17. Let's hear it. The loudest shout you got in you.